and welcome to episode 97 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week, I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents, Lindsay, Robin, Laura, and Elizabeth. As travel professionals, we like to think that we have a pretty good insight into what's trending with travel. One of our favorite trips to help plan is honeymoons. Weddings can be stressful, but couples look forward to getting away from it all and relaxing by themselves after the big day. There's lots of options to make your honeymoon extra special, and we want to tell you about some of the cool things we've been seeing. So let's get started. So this is an area that I want to kind of build. So please call me for your honeymoon.
First of all, the best part about a wedding is the honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no, I mean, your wedding can be awesome, but the honeymoon is like,
yeah, it's all about connection. So let me ask you guys this, because I kind of am split half and half between like the wives, the bride, doing all the planning. And I've had some where it's been the groom and I haven't even talked to the brides. Do you guys see that too?
Well, tradition is groom.
Right.
That's tradition.
But would you go on vacation with your husband for the whole thing?
I did, actually.
Oh, really?
And that was the first and last vacation he ever planned for. Yeah. But he did a great job, but yeah. He pretty much was like, I'm done.
Yes.
It's all you. Lindsay, is that what?
The majority of the honeymoons I've booked have been the groom contacting me, and it's kind of funny because one of the biggest ones, he didn't even tell me until we're about 40 minutes into our conversation, and I was asking him what kind of vacation he wanted and what he was looking for, and at the end of the phone conversation, he's like, I have to go, I gotta go to a cake tasting, and I said, wait a minute. Is this your honeymoon? He didn't even lead with it. Like, it didn't occur to him that maybe the one person you should probably tell that this is your honeymoon is your travel agent.
Yeah, really.
That's funny.
So Robin, what do you find?
I find that in my regular clientele, it is 90% women. In the honeymoons, it's about 50-50.
Yeah. I think if men are going to plan a vacation, this is the one that they do.
And I can see that too, because the wedding is so, like, time consuming, you know?
So, yeah. Well, and there's a lot to be said for tradition. As much as we buck tradition nowadays, there's still some things, I mean, some traditions are there because they are easier or, you know.
Yeah. Nice. So what do you guys do for honeymoons a lot? What are people asking you for?
Hawaii, cruises, Caribbean, all-inclusives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine have been mostly all-inclusives. I've done some cruises. Alaska was one that I really enjoyed planning because that was the people who went to that one, it was like a real big bucket list. They're real outdoorsy. They wanted to fish and do all that kind of stuff. So they really, that was so perfect for them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Favorite one recently was to Hawaii. It was clients from Boston, and they had always wanted to go to Hawaii, and they're big Disney fans, and they wanted to stay at Aulani in Oahu, and they did all these different excursions all over the island and had a great time. This just happened a few weeks ago.
Nice. Did they go while you were there? Did you see them?
No. They went August 1st.
Nice. They just missed you.
Yeah, so most of my honeymoons have been all-inclusives. I think that mm-hmm. has a lot of appeal. And actually, most of those were planned by the brides. So I have to wonder if the brides were like, you know what? We're just going to sit on the beach and chill.
Yeah.
This has been difficult and, you know, yeah. We're just going to, so now that I think I never actually equated those two things, but yeah, the more adventurous honeymoons I've done have been the ones planned by the groom. But usually when the bride calls me, yeah. The one exception to that, which I guess Disney World is something you can do one way or the other, but, you know, the brides will contact me for Disney World sometimes for a honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get a lot of. I get a lot of Disney honeymoons, Disneyland and Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like, I get a lot of the all-inclusive Hawaii too, but I think that, when you think honeymoon, you really don't think, I mean, if you think relaxation and that, you're not thinking Disney.
Yeah, definitely.
You're thinking Disney Aulani or
right.
Disney Cruise Line.
Right. Or Adventures by Disney, yeah.
Adventures are easy, something like that. But yeah, the last few have been very intense trips. jam-packed full of things.
My brother and his wife did Disney for their honeymoon, and I helped plan it. You know, I did all their dining reservations and their fast passes and stuff. But when I talked to her after they got back, she's like, yeah, we had to go back to Magic Kingdom every night. Every night till it closed. I could tell it just wore her out. You know, she was like, every night.
Makes me wonder if she was traveling with you.
Yeah, really. Well, I know. My brother likes to be there. Yeah. From like rope drop to fireworks. Because that's what you do, right? Yeah, so I agree with you, though. I think that the all-inclusives just have that market done. It's so good. You know, they cater to that romance travel, and there's so many, you can do couples massages, you can do romantic dinners, just the two of you, you know, things like that. There's so many good ways to do that, and they really pamper you.
Yeah. Well, and I think with all-inclusives, one of the charms for that for honeymoon is it's usually adult. You can find adult only. Mm-hmm. I won't say it's usually adult only. There's plenty of family-friendly all-inclusives, but there aren't a lot of there's an adult only cruise, you might not want to be on it. And unless you do something that just caters to an older crowd, you're going to have children, you know, which again is not a problem, but for honeymooners, you know, tend to want to be in a more, you know, quiet, relaxed atmosphere. They're, you know, working on those family vacations for later. So that's one appeal there.
I did one honeymoon, they brought their kids.
Non-traditional families. Yeah, happens all the time.
I have a friend that did that. She got married specifically at Disney because she had an 8-year-old daughter. And so there's that.
I'm working on a big anniversary trip right now, and they're taking their parents and their children.
Wow. Well, that's another thing too. There's a lot of destination weddings that take place, and one of the cool things you can do is have your wedding and all your guests at the family resort, and then hop over to the adult only for your honeymoon part, and just leave all those people back there
having a good time, but not with you.
Yeah, exactly. And you move on. Yeah. You know, and there's some of them. Like we were talking about sandals in our last podcast, but when you get down to like the southern islands, like you know Barbados or Antigua, Grenada. You can island hop, and because you've already gone so far, it's really a good opportunity to kind of hop over to another island and see what that's like too. So that's a cool idea.
It is.
Some are easier to hop than others though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cause I've had people ask me, they wanted to go to two islands during their honeymoon, and they were two islands that didn't have any, they weren't close to each other. They didn't have any type of transportation. They would have had to like change planes in Puerto Rico. So you have to see what type of transportation is between the islands. Mm-hmm, right. I mean, if you want to go to St. Thomas and St. John, that's easy.
Yeah. You can almost swim.
Yeah. But if you're looking to go like to Jamaica to St. Thomas, that's a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And be prepared for small planes too. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
If you don't dig
I was just going to say, don't think you're getting on a big plane because...
Yeah. It ain't no jumbo jet. Yeah.
That's a good tip for the Caribbean.
Get the ladder
anyway.
Out and climb in from the outside.
Yeah. So you guys were giving recommendations to couples planning their honeymoon. What would you tell them about, you know, because the things that I've heard, with fellow travel agent friends over the past week is that people come wanting, thinking they're going to, you know, go to Bora Bora and have a suite over the ocean. And it's going to cost them $8,000 for everything kind of thing. And, you know, it's not going to happen. So it's like, what would you tell them in terms of budget and planning and what you would, you know, need from them as you're planning their honeymoon?
Well, I send them a list of questions that I've put together and I change every once in a while, asking them what they're looking for, what they want out of their vacation. You know, do they want to just sit on a beach? Do they want to go shopping? Do they want to do excursions? Do they want to go, sailing? I mean, just asking them what they want to do while they're there. And that can help figure out where they want to go. Because some places, you know, if they want to go scuba diving, well, there's certain places that are better than others to go scuba diving. Mm-hmm. I just had somebody call me recently and she said, well, my husband doesn't like beaches. Well, then obviously they want to go on a cruise. Well, obviously a Caribbean cruise is going to be out. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at a cruise to Alaska or a European cruise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the budget question is always, you know, I explain to my clients when I ask them that question, because people get nervous when you ask them for a budget. And for anybody mm-hmm. listening, when we ask you for that, it's not that we're looking to spend every dime of your budget. It's also not that we're, you know, going to cater the trip to that budget. It's sort of a happy medium. Basically, I want to know what you think you're going to spend mm-hmm. so that when I tell you how much what you want is, yeah. I know whether or not I need to tell you to sit down, you know?
Correct.
So basically, if you call me and you say, I want to go to Bora Bora and I want an over the water bungalow and I want it to be $8,000, including air, then I will put together the quote for an overwater bungalow in Bora Bora that I feel would, you know, would match. And if it turns out to be $8,000, hooray. If it turns out to be $12,000, I'll say, by the way,
yeah,
you're you might want to sit down.
You're only going for 3 nights. Yeah.
So and then exactly, yeah. they can change their,
exactly
how long they're going for, or
if there were extras in there, like we want to go to Bora Bora and we want to go to Tahiti and we want to go to, you know, Phuket, then, you know, then I can sort of say, okay, well, this is how much each one of those pieces costs. What do you want to do more? So, yeah. So basically the budget is a guideline for us to know what you think you're going to pay. We're not going to barter with you. The trip costs what it costs.
What it costs.
You know, so. Yeah, so all it really does is it helps us know how to communicate with you so that, you know, so we can say, okay, you need to sit down.
Yeah. Or like if you say you have this amount of money that you want to spend and you really just want to beach that, I mean, you know, we know a lot of different beaches that are, right. you know, there's, and people sometimes don't know, they kind of don't put the airfare into that budget. So mm-hmm. that's good to know. Sometimes people have points or whatever. So, yeah.
Sometimes. People come to you and they want to go someplace, but they only have a shorter amount of time and they don't realize how far away it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working with honeymooners right now and they said, you know, they're looking at some Caribbean all inclusives. And she said to me, she sent me a message. Well, how about Tahiti? And I said, well, that would be great, but you only have a week and your mm-hmm. budget is smaller and pretty much you're going to be there for 5 nights. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, we'll go to the Caribbean.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, I think honeymoon is a great time to hit a bucket list item.
Yeah.
And by all means, I mean, I think, you know, when you're budgeting your wedding, do not skimp on your honeymoon. Don't skimp. Because if you're ever going to splurge, this is really a great time to do it. You want something memorable and you're going to want that getaway. You're going to want somebody taking care of you. So if you're trying to decide between a butler and a concierge, this is where you want the butler. Yeah. This is where that's going to mean the most to you. And likewise, if you've always wanted to go to Tahiti and you have 2 weeks, then go, you know,
yeah.
work that into your budget. Don't buy an expensive dress or whatever, you know, work that into your budget.
If it's, yeah, especially if the destination, if the bucket list destination is more important to you than some of the other things that you're maybe spending too much on for your wedding, it's a good time to reevaluate that. I mean, we spent what most people would spend on our wedding on the honeymoon and got married very cheaply, because it was a higher priority to us to do a Mediterranean cruise and hit those destinations. And I'm so glad that we did it that way. And I can't, you know, I think that's the biggest thing to stress is make sure you're getting what you want to get out of that experience and not, well, we'll settle for this now and then later, because who knows, you know, 5 kids later.
You get pregnant on your honeymoon.
There's always something that's going to be coming.
Yeah, it's not as easy to revisit that, just the two of you alone in a over-the-water bungalow in Bora Bora.
I have a lot of honeymoon clients who, what they do for their excursions, and sometimes for part of their honeymoon, is they have a honeymoon registry. And there's a lot of different ones out there that they can do themselves, and it just puts the money into their bank account. And I've had them add my people from Hawaii, they added a whole bunch of excursions and it was all from their honeymoon registry.
Yeah.
So they had been living together. They didn't need anything. They wanted to go on a nice honeymoon and that helped pay for it.
Mm-hmm. I had clients do the same thing. They were going to St. Lucia and they wanted a helicopter tour, which is never cheap, you know, so that was on their registry. That's mm-hmm. a good point. Yeah. That's a really good way to do it.
Yeah, one of the couples that I met said that one of the best things their travel agent did for them was to say, are you willing to postpone your honeymoon? Because if you would be willing to take it in a couple months, I could get you a much better rate and you could have, you know, you could have that butler suite or you could have the mm-hmm. longer vacation. And that was really helpful to them to kind of unhook from the traditional, oh, we got to leave right now.
Yeah.
They were willing to do that.
That probably really helped them too, because right after your wedding, you're tired. I can't, you know, you see so many people who right away are getting on a plane to go somewhere and, you know, how much are you enjoying the first couple days of your vacation if you were overly exhausted? So,
yeah. Well, for the record, I went right after my wedding and I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Well, they picked them and gave them two things to look forward to. It's like they look forward to their wedding and their reception. And then, you know, it's like they got 6 or 8 weeks out and those memories were kind of, you know, kind of settling in. And then they were really looking forward to their, you know, so for them it worked. It may not work for everybody, but it is a way that somebody may get, you know, be able to take that money and stretch it a little bit more or have more of the vacation they want if they're willing to say to a travel agent, is there any other time of year that this I might be able to get a better deal on this?
My Alaska people did that. They got married in April and they didn't go till August. So,
and I've actually had people delay a honeymoon for a whole year with the thought of we're paying for the wedding this year and then we're going to pay for the honeymoon next year. So it was sort of a budgeting thing. And so their honeymoon was basically their 1 year anniversary.
I would still say get out of town for the
wedding. I agree with you. And they actually did stay in a hotel for a couple of nights after their wedding just by themselves. So they were, you know, they didn't go home.
Mm-hmm.
And again, non-traditional families, for them, they've been living together for a long time. And so it was sort of like they budgeted for the party and then they budgeted for the trip and that worked for them. And they ended up, they were able to take a really nice honeymoon that they wouldn't have been able to take had they gone right away.
Another thing I suggest to people, and this was based on my experience, I got married in Las Vegas. It was a big wedding at a hotel. We left at really early the next morning. Our flight was supposed to be in the afternoon. It got changed and we decided to just keep it. And that was, to me, one of the biggest mistakes. You know, we're hungover, we're tired. We had family and friends who had come in and we didn't even really get to spend a lot of time with them.
Yeah.
So I always ask people, you know, they say, okay, my wedding's on the 5th. I'm like, well, do you want to leave on the 7th or the 8th? Take in everything that's happened and take a breather, you know, get some rest. And this way you're going on your honeymoon relaxed. You're mm-hmm. not, you know, still in that frantic pace.
Well, you have a few minutes to sort of unpack, pack, you know, even if you're getting, for me, I was getting married like one town over. So we sort of had to, we had, you know, suitcases sort of, and we took a day in between. So yeah, definitely a good idea. And it's not going to hurt your vacation at all to go a little bit later. So. And you know, the length of honeymoon too, one is important to talk about because you don't have to go for a week if you're going close, but think about that before you make that decision. Don't say, oh, we're just going to go for 3 nights because we don't really need that much time because you've never done this before. you know, you don't have to take 2 weeks unless you're going to Tahiti, but, you know, you should give yourself some time.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely take advantage of that pampering and stuff. Yeah.
Have you guys ever planned any, like, non-traditional honeymoons?
I mean, I felt like Disney, when we were there in February, Robin and I were there and doing some training, and they told us that Disney is actually the number one domestic destination. But I've only done one Disney honeymoon, and I thought it was a little funny that, apparently that's not that non-traditional.
I've done a few, but not many.
Years and everything. I haven't done very many non-traditional. I mean, the most non-traditional might have been maybe family trips where, you know, it was a second marriage or perhaps the family, you know, they'd been living together for a long time. And so they took a family vacation as their honeymoon. But, in those cases, it's so casual. It almost, I don't know if I put it into my honeymoon business.
It's definitely not
brain.
Bridezilla business.
Yeah, it's definitely not. I haven't done very many non-traditional.
I've done a few, not that they were non-traditional, but being on the East Coast, normally people don't go to the wine country in California. I did one of those where they went to San Francisco and then went to the wine country. So, I mean, that's traditional if you live there, but from the East Coast, it's not as much. I had one couple do the wet. California coast. They took like 10 days and did from San Francisco down to San Diego. What else did I do? I did, gosh, there's some of them from when I did this before, more non-traditional ones, but that those are the only ones that I could. Oh, I did a Lake Tahoe one. Again, somebody from the East Coast who wanted to go to Lake Tahoe. So they flew into Reno and rented a car and drove to Lake Tahoe and did all sorts of fun things there. So I'm guessing for people around there, it's traditional, but not for people on the East Coast.
The closest, I mean, other than taking Disney out of the equation, my very first honeymoon I helped plan, they did go to Kauai, but they stayed in a yurt.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, I had to find a, it was really neat, really neat situation. So I guess that's a little bit non-traditional. They did do a resort as well for part of it, but for the first week they were in New York.
So glamping.
On their own private beach. It was like, she said it felt like they had their own, it was their own little paradise. Their own little.
Well, I have friends who just got married in March up here, but they're both in their early 50s. And they're leaving next week for Oslo and Norway for their honeymoon.
Nice.
Oh, cool. Great.
Mm-hmm. But they're more of the year outdoor. They want to be outdoor. They want to explore. That's what I was asking. Have you done any kind of non-traditional off the beaten path?
No. No, mine have been pretty, most of mine have been Caribbean. And I mean, they were cool and they looked really nice. But I don't think it was,
when I redo my own personal honeymoon.
I honestly get a lot more.
As one does. I think we're going to do a safari.
Actually, I had a cousin who did a safari for her honeymoon, but that was like years, and it was way before, I mean, I wasn't even out of college yet, so long, long time ago. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that, actually. Sounded really cool.
I did a Hawaii one earlier this year, and they went to Maui, and they spent a few nights in Kaanapali, and then they spent a few nights in Hana, which I had never booked anybody in Hana before. So that was, they wanted to hike, and
Another thing about Hawaii that's very popular with honeymoons is the Pride of America, the Norwegian ship that visits four different islands. It's a 7-night cruise, and you overnight in a couple of them. And that one's a really good one if you want to get a taste of a bunch of Hawaii. So, cool. All right, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away, or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Elizabeth, Lindsay, Robin, Laura, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.